Morning. Today's daf in Menachos Nun Ches. We are Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We're starting today Tanu Rabbanan. It's about 15 lines on the bottom of the Amud. It's the last two words in the line. We start with a brisa, continuing the discussion that we had yesterday in the last number of days regarding the Isser of Chimutz as it relates to Karbanos, specifically, obviously, Karban Mincha, where there's a possibility for Chimutz. The fifth parak started off with the two notable exceptions of menachos that require chimutz, that require to be leavened, the shtei alechem and the lachmei todav. But the outside of that, for the rest of the menachos, so there's an issur in the Torah not to be mechametz. There's an issur in the Torah not to be mechametz the kometz, the part of the mincha that goes up onto the mizbeach. There's also a general issur of chimutz as it relates to the entire mincha. We spoke about that yesterday. And there's also an issur of chimutz on the shirayim as well. All this is relatively clear in the Pesukim, although as we pointed out yesterday already a couple of times, from the Pasuk itself, you get much more the impression that the Isser of Chimutz is for the part that's going on to the Mizbeach. But as we darshan yesterday, we darshan the day before as well, it's kol a mincha. It really applies to the entire mincha. The Pesukim that speak about this most clearly is in the Torah's elaboration of the mincha of the Marcheshes. In the Pesukim themselves, before we start with the Gemara, so in Perek Beis of Vayikra, and I'll start in Pasuk Zayin. V'minchas Marcheshes Karbanechas Solos Bashem Teaseh. So the Torah here is describing the mincha of the Marcheshes. V'veisas the mincha shiraseh me'alei Hashem v'kareva kolam v'gishal mizbech v'irima kol mina mincha saz karasa v'ktir mizbecha yisher v'chivrech nichoch l'Hashem v'anoseres mina mincha la'aron levanav kodesh kadoshim yisher Hashem. Okay, so that's the Minchas Marcheshes. And then the Torah says in Pasuk in Aleph, I'm sorry for not translating a lot of this, but the Kol HaMincha Asher Tekriv LaHashem, so any Mincha which is offered to Hashem, so again, that sounds like it's talking about the Kometz, Lo Se'aseh Chametz. One is not allowed to convert that into something which is leavened. Ki Chol Se'or V'Chol Devash Lo Saktir Mimenu Yishel Hashem. Because anything which is Se'or or Devash, Lo saktiru, that you're not allowed to burn, mimenu ishel Hashem. Okay, and that last half of the pasuk we're going to explain a lot better over the course of this morning's daf. Let's go now to our Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we start towards the bottom of the Amud. Minan lamala mi baser chatos mi baser asher mi baser kachay hakadosh makdish umikachim kalem umimoser omer mimoser shealechem alechem apanu mishayar minchas shehu below sase. I know that was a long list. If you take any of these things and you put it up onto the Mizbeach, you are in violation of a negative prohibition. Now let's go over them and let's just go over all these items and you'll see the common theme of all of these items. So number one, Basar Chatas, the meat of the Karban Chatas, which of course is not to go onto the Mizbeach, but that's the part of the Karban Chatas which is eaten by the Kohanim. Basar Asham, same story. Basar Kashe Kadashim, same story, meaning not Karbanola. The Basar Chatas and Anasham. Kachim Kalim. So Kachim Kalim are Shlamim Karbanos, where the meat is going to be eaten by a combination of the Kohanim and the owners. Moser HaOmer, the Karban Omer that's offered. There's a Kometz of the Omer, and then the rest of it is eaten by the Kohanim. Moser Shtei Halechem, the leftover of the Shtei Halechem. Now, it's interesting language of Moser Shtei Halechem, because as we already pointed out, Shtei Alechem, all of it goes to the Kohanim. There is no Kometz of the Shtei Alechem. But still, it's the same basic point. Lechem Aponim. Same thing with the Lechem Aponim. There is no part of the Lechem Aponim that goes onto the Mizbeach. The Bazichin, the two spoonfuls of Levona, go onto the Mizbeach, but not the Lechem Aponim. And Shayare Menachos, and any of the leftovers of the Mincha after the Kometz has been removed. So, the common denominator between all these items are very simple. These are the parts of the Karban that don't go onto the Mizbeach. And what the Brace is telling us is, if somebody were to take these parts and put them onto the Mizbeach, they violate the Isser in the Torah of burning something that shouldn't be burned. And how do I know that? Tama Lamar. Ki kol se'or v'chol devash lo saktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. So we have the key word over here in this drasha is the word mimenu. And the Gemara goes on to explain, kol shu mimenu li'ishim, harehu bival taktiru. If there is a mimenu li'ishim, meaning part of it goes on to the fire, part of it goes on to the Mizbeach, and then there's the remainder. Anything which is a remainder is now in the sister in the Torah of Baal Taktiru not to be burnt on the Mizbech. Good. So the Gemara says now, of the list that we just noted, two notable oddities. Number one, the Shtei Lechem. Number two, the Lechem Aponim. There's no part of them that go up onto the Mizbech. Now, I foreshadowed this question when we went through the Braisa, but here the Gemara spells it out. V'atayim will enter the Braisa. Yatsu Shtei Lechem v'Lechem Aponim Shei Mehem Lishim. So the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim are excluded because no part of it goes up onto the Mizbech. And so how can the Braisa previously say, just very flatly, that, oh, there's part of it that goes onto the Mizbech? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Ein Migufo Le'ishim. So clarification says, Rav Sheshes, you're right. Of course you're right. Meaning when it comes to Lechem Aponim, Shei Lechem, so you're right. The entirety of either of these Menachos, they go onto the Mizbech. But there are parts of it that go onto the Mizbech. Not part of it, meaning the actual Mincha itself, but in other words, an attachment. So let's take this one by one. The Shei Lechem, so as we already went over numerous times, the Shei Lechem is attached to the Kivsei Atzeres. They're waved together. They are now considered unified. They're a single unit. And now, what happens is that we offer the Kivsei Atzeres, and now once you offer the Kivsei Atzeres, so now you're allowed to eat the Shtei Lechem. So you're right. Of the Shtei Lechem itself, none of it goes on to the Mizbech, but part of it goes on, meaning not it, but its attachment, i.e. the Kivsei Atzeres. And we'll say the same thing regarding the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim don't go on to the Mizbech. There's no Kemitza of the Lechem Aponim. But there is the Shtei Bazichin. So we're going to say now the same thing. The Shtei Bazichin are the parts of the Shtei Lechem that go on to the Mizbech, which allow for consumption of the Lechem Aponim. Good. Itmar. Hamala mikulam al gabe hakevesh. Now, if I take any one of them and I put them on the ramp. So, what have we learned together? That we are not allowed to take any of the aforementioned, meaning anything which is mimenu, the parts of the carbon that don't go up onto the Mizbech, and I put them onto the Mizbech, so we violate a lav. What we're now discussing is, what about the ramp? So as far as the ramp is concerned, so we've already discussed back in Zvachim, the idea that the Mizbech itself has the ability to be collate, it's able to collect and absorb and take things which maybe shouldn't even have gone onto the Mizbech. And we also said that the Kevish has some Mizbech-like quality to it as well. But over here, we're talking, it's a slightly different discussion. Over here, we're talking about the Isser in the Torah of not putting the non-burnt parts of the carbon onto the Mizbech. And now what we're going to discuss is, what about the ramp as well? Is that also included in the lav? Hamala mikula magabe kevish. If I take any one of the aforementioned items that we discussed in the previous brisa, and I put it on the ramp, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rav Elazar Amar Patur, so it's a machlokas amarayim, as to whether or not one would be subject to Malkus or no Malkus. Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav, Ditanya Mizbeach. Now, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, so he's of the opinion that this is an Isser. Why? Because the Torah says, HaMizbeach, Ein Le'el HaMizbeach, Kevish Minayin. How do I know that the Kevish is also included? Tamalomar Ve'El HaMizbeach Lo Yalu, L'Ratzon. The Torah says, El HaMizbeach, towards the Mizbeach. Well, how do you get towards the Mizbeach? It's very simple. You go up the ramp. Since the ramp is the pathway towards the Mizbeach, that's the El HaMizbeach, so therefore the Isser includes that as well, meaning putting any of these items on the ramp. Rebbe Lazar Amar Pater Maitama, I'm across the word Devash. Karban Reishis Takriva Osam. Osam Hu Derabbi L'Chal Kevesh Kemizbeach Avamin Diachrin Elom. So as far as Rebbe Lazar is concerned, so he's in agreement that for some items the ramp is included and is considered part and parcel of the Mizbeach, but very few items. In fact, only two items, Seor and Devash. We will momentarily identify what they are. But, I mean, not only will I define what they are, but we're going to identify what they are. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, according to Rav Elazar, yes, it's true. A ramp is part of the Mizbeach, and there will be a liability for putting something on the ramp, but only Seor and Devash, nothing else. Seor and Devash is where the Torah says the word includes the ramp as part of the Mizbech, but that's it. And how do I know that's it? Because of the word Osam. Osam hu derabbi l'chal kevesh kemizbech v'amidi achrin elo. Only for these two items, not for anything else. Good. And we've gone over the pasuk. Let's take a look at the pasuk one more time. The Torah says, kol ha-mincha asher takriv l'Hashem, any mincha which is offered, lo saseh chametz, one's not to make chametz out of it, ki chol seor, v'chol devash lo saktiru mimenu, ishel Hashem. for anything which is either seor devash lo saktira mimenu. Okay, and so over here we have in the Torah itself a description of two items. Now, let's try to define these two items. So seor and devash are basically, if left to my own devices, I would have told you that seor is a leavening agent and devash is honey. And I would have told you that it's not bee honey, it's date honey. Okay, that's what I would have told you. In fact, if you take a look at the translation here in the Stone Chumash, it says any leavening or fruit honey. That's great. So at least I would have been on point in terms of a definition. In terms of our Gemara, that's not the way the Gemara understands it. That's not how Rashi understands it. Look at Rashi. Look at the Rashi here is on the very bottom, and it goes to the next Amud. Again, what are we describing right now? Those things where it would be an issur to take them up onto the Mizbech, and not just onto the Mizbech, but even the ramp itself. But it's only these two things, according to Rav Elazar, based on the fact that the Torah only limits it to Seor and Devash. What's Seor in this context? What's Devash in this context? So I already told you what the definition is, but that's not what the Bryce is talking about. Look at the bottom Rashi. Osam beiz halechem min Seor ubikurim min Devash. So says Rashi that the Seor is a reference to the Shtei Alechem, and the Devash is a reference to Bikurim. What? How do we get there? Rashi goes on to explain. As we look at the Rashi continuing now, Rashi continues on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Diksiba Ukra, V'hachi Kamar. This is how you understand the Pasuk. Karban Reishis Takrivu, Osam. Dahainu Shtei Alechem min HaSeor. Now as far as the first karbanos, so which is first karbanos in terms of seor? So that's the shtei alechem. Dichsiv chametz ta'afenu. So first of all, we know it to be the seor because, as we have pointed out already a number of times, it's leavened, meaning the shtei alechem that's offered on Shavuos is actually leavened. Now there's only one other mincha that's leavened, and that's the karban todah. But there's no, it's not a first. In other words, the shtei alechem is a first. How do I know that? Continue Rashi. Veracious mikra, it's also called the first. Dehain rachis l'cholam menachos, habaos mitvu shanazu. Because, as far as menachos are concerned, the shtei alechem that's offered on Shavuos, they are the first of the grains that are offered. Now, to be clear about this point, and we're going to come back to this point later in the Masechta, when we get to the seventh perek, but the basic idea goes like this, that when it comes to grains becoming old versus new, so, all right, let me say it better. When it comes to grains first being new, then becoming old, meaning we're not allowed to eat grains which are chadash. Grains which are old, which are yashon, that we're allowed to eat. So generally speaking, the way we see it correctly is that it's the second day of Pesach when we bring the Karban Omer. Now the Shtei Alechem is not brought for another 50 days, meaning the Shtei Alechem is brought on Shavuos. As vis-a-vis you and I, meaning as far as non-carbon consumption of grains, the Karban Omer. Vis-a-vis the menachos and the Beis HaMikdash, Shtei Halachem. Again, we're going to come to that point later on. We're going to discuss that in more detail. But in the meantime, however, so we know when the Torah is describing Seor over here, it's talking about the Shtei Halachem. One, it's leaven. Two, it's a first. Because it's the first grains that are brought as far as the mincha is concerned. And Rashi continues, Yechsiv ba mincha chadasha. Fine. Ubikurim in advash. Okay, so now we know that the Seor in this context is a reference to the Shtei Halachem. What about Devash? Devash is a reference to Bikurim. How do we get there? Rashi goes on to explain. Ubikurim and Advash v'ikurashis bikurei admascha. I'm sorry, I skipped the two important words. Dichsiv, it's in brackets, but we should read those. Dichsiv rashis bikurei admascha. Because the Torah in describing Bikurim calls it also rashis. It's the first. Meaning as you grow your fruit in the course of any given season, so the first fruits are bow-tied, then eventually picked and taken, and brought to Yerushalayim as Bikurim. Now, Hanuchu Derabin Lukevish Kemizbeach. Now, as far as these two things now, and by the way, Bikurim are brought from the seven fruit. One of the seven fruit are dates. Good. So, Seor and Devash in this context is not leavened and honey. Seor and Devash in this context is Shtei Alechem and Bikurim. And Hanachu Rabin Lai Kevish Kemizbeach Dechsiv Alo HaMizbeach Lo Yalu. So vis-a-vis these two things and only these two things, is there going to be an inclusion of the ramp to the Mizbeach? That is all according to Rav Elazar. I know that was a long run-on sentence, but that's the way Rav Elazar understands the Pesukim. Okay, Vi Rabbi Yochanan. We are now in the very top of Nun Chesam and Aleph in the Gemara, and now we're going to go back and forth, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, remember, his understanding is that any item that's not to go onto the Mizbeach, and you put on the Mizbeach, you violate this in the Torah, he also includes the ramp as well, meaning he doesn't limit the ramp to just these two karbanos. So then, of course, the question begs, what does he do with the word Osam? That's the Gemara's next question. We're on the top of Nun Chesam Adav. Rav Yochanan Hay Osam Mayavile Mi Baile Lechidetanya. So he uses it for a different brisa altogether, different teaching altogether. Yochli Yachid Misna Deva Mevi Kayotze Ba Nedava. So I might have thought that an individual can volunteer these karbanos. Meaning there are karbanos in the Torah, the menachos in the Torah of Shtei Alechem and Bikurim. So you know what? On my own, I want to bring Shtei Alechem. Meaning, I know it's a mincha that's brought on Shavuos as a carbon seber, as a public carbon. But I myself, privately, I want to bring the same mincha. Why not? In other words, there is a model of this kind of mincha that can be offered. So why can't I voluntarily offer it on my own? So the Koran Ibamos is Fasecha Tishmar Vasisa, and you can bring a nedava, and as long as the Torah gives you a model of what a mincha would look like. So I want to bring this particular model as an individual carbon. So Tamalamer carbon ratios takrivu tzibur amarti lecha velo yachid. Okay, so the Torah says the words carbon ratios takrivu. We've already identified that this is a reference to the Shtei Alechem, and the Torah uses the words takrivu. Takrivu, you will bring. In English, it doesn't translate well because I say you in English, you don't know if it's singular or plural. But takrivu in Hebrew, that means plural. That means that it can only come from a carbon seber. It can't come from an individual. So there the Torah is telling us very clearly that the Shtei Alechem that's offered in Shavuos can only come as a public carbon. It can't come as a private carbon. There's no private entity of a Shtei Alechem. So the Gemara says, Yachol lo yeh yachid mevi sheinu mevi chavaso kayotze ba, aval yeh tzibur mevi she mevi chavaso kayotze ba. The Gemara over here makes a really interesting suggestion. I'd say it's unprecedented, but I don't have enough bikiyas to tell you it's unprecedented. But it's a really interesting suggestion. I don't recall off the top of my head a Gemara making another suggestion like this elsewhere. And that is, well, why doesn't the tzibur give a shtei alechem on a voluntary basis? Now, first of all, right. In other words, where's the funding going to be coming from so that the public money will be used to buy a voluntary offering, and when would the occasion arise, and where do we have excess money? So the truth of the matter is Rashi thought of a lot of these questions, and Rashi answers a lot of these questions very succinctly. So Rashi over here, in the suggestion of the Gemara, I mean, we're going to end up rejecting the suggestion, but just the idea that the Tzibur is going to bring a voluntary offering of the Shtei Alechem, you know, another time of the year, right? For everyone here locally knows I sell lulav and esrog, and so I joke very often that I'd like another sukkah, like sometime right in the spring. Okay, it's I lament the fact that it only comes one time a year. But anyway, the Gemara now is suggesting that the Shtei Alechem should be offered voluntarily by the tzibur. Like another time during the year. Okay. Rashi over here says, where's that money coming from? So, right? Rashi thought of a lot of these difficulties that I brought up. Rashi divra maschal vayehid sibra mevi, beiz alechem nedava, shari mivin shtei alechem chova, vehechi dami nidvat sibur. So Rashi says, and nidvat sibur, where are we going to have a voluntary public carbon? Kigomi mao shel shofar sehem. It's really brilliant on Rashi's part. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash, you had a number of pushkas. There were 13 altogether. But the last six or seven, I forget which one's six and which one's seven, but the last six or seven are what's called Keitz HaMizbeach. Meaning that people, if they have any most of same, any surplus monies, are going to go into, money's going to be sent into that pushka. And what is that money going to be done with the money from that push, from those last six or seven pushkas? So they're going to take that money and they're going to use it to buy olos that are going to be offered on the Mizbech when it's a slow time of the year. Where basically it's the Tamei Shel Shachar and the Tamei Shel Ben Arbayim, and there's not a lot of activity on the Mizbech. So you take money from there and you'll buy olos for the slow time of the season. So in the suggestion of the Gemara, says Rashi, when the Gemara is suggesting that we're going to offer also a shtei halachem, a voluntary public shtei halachem, so it'll come from the shofars. Okay, good. Anyway, this is all the suggestion of the Gemara. Tamalama, we're back in the Gemara, and we're going to now reject the suggestion. Tamalama, osam. So the word osam tells me no, that I can only offer the shtei halachem only on the one occasion where it's an obligation to bring so, otherwise known as Shavuos. Oma yesh lecha lahavi shtei halachem min ha-seor, ubikorim min ha-dvash. And what are we talking about? The shtei halachem min ha-seor, ubikorim min ha-dvash. Period. Okay, and I know we already did all the legwork in the Rashi, but the shtei alechem is that's the seor mentioned in the pasuk, and the bikurim that's the devash mentioned in the pasuk. Period. Yes. Correct. Right. So then, in other words, right. So the mimenu probably is going on everything else listed in the brisa. Meaning, if you go back to the brisa which opened up our morning, right? Minayin lamala mi, and then that lengthy list of basar chatos, basar asham, etc., etc. So the mimenu is probably going on all those things, and then the bikurim is its own separate category, right? That may be a good way to look at it. Okay, that kind of takes us to the end of the discussion of the Gemara. So here's what we're saying categorically. That one, if part of the carbon is not to be going onto the Mizbeach, there's a law in the Torah that it should not go onto the Mizbeach. And so we start off the morning giving a long list of those things which are not to be going onto the Mizbeach. Most of these items are mimenu items, meaning part of the carbon goes onto the Mizbeach, but part of it does not. And for the parts that do not, the mimenu parts, so there's a law in the Torah not to put them on the Mizbeach. A machlokas amarayim, whether or not the ramp is also included in this lav. Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan says the ramp is included for all these items. Rav Elazar says no, the ramp is only included for two of the items, the shtei alechem and the bikurim. How does Rav Elazar arrive at that conclusion? How does Rav Yochanan counter that? So that's what we've been going over the last number of minutes of daf. Nun ches amad aleph. We are about 10 lines on top of the Amud. We're continuing. Shtei alechem lo yakrivu nedava v'hatanya. So you're telling me that the shtei alechem cannot be offered voluntarily. Now, that's before we go on in the Gemara, so basically that's correct. Meaning the shtei alechem is not offered voluntarily. But for some reason, it's a strange day in the daf, where the daf is going to not suggest once, but two times in today's daf, that the shtei alechem can be brought on a voluntary basis. Okay. We're going to end up rejecting the suggestion, but certainly there's some idea in the Gemara that the shtei alechem there's something about it that lends itself to this suggestion that it can be brought voluntarily. Okay.
Without the
question. I imagine. I'm not sure. In the suggestion, it's not clear how it's going to be offered. So the Hatanya, the Gemara quotes now a brisa. The brisa reads. Im namar kol seor lama namar kol devash. Im namar kol devash lama namar kol seor. So the Torah says that seor and devash cannot be brought onto the mizbeach. Why seor and devash? Why both? So the Gemara says because each one of them has a unique feature that the other does not have. Mimnei sheyesh besor mashein bedvash veyesh bedvash mashein besor. Seor hutar bechlalo, or I should say better, seor hutar miklalo bemikdash. So as far as Seor is concerned, there are times when Seor can be brought. To be explained in just a moment. Devash, lo hutar mechalo b'mikdash. As far as Devash is concerned, never can Devash be put onto the Mizbech. Okay? Next. Devash, hutar b'shayari menachos. You know, Devash, you can use for Shirayim. But Seor, lo hutar b'shayari menachos. But Seor cannot be used even for the Shirayim. Again, I'm going to explain all this better in just a moment. Ha mimnei sheyesh besor mashein bedvash veyesh bedvash mashein besor hutzoch lamar kol seor v'hutzoch lamar kol devash. And so because there are unique aspects of seor and devash, so there's something in seor that's not in devash and vice versa, so therefore they are not to be brought, therefore the Torah had to mention both of them. Okay, now, Let's take both points independently in the Braisa, and let's just go over both points. Point number one, vis-a-vis the Dvash. Dvash is just easier to explain. Dvash is, it's never can be brought onto the Mizbeach. Good, get it. Meaning Dvash is date honey, not as Bikurim, it's not brought on the Mizbeach, and not under any other circumstances it's brought on the Mizbeach. There is never an allowance for Dvash to go onto the Mizbeach. However, says the Gemara, Dvash can be used for the Shirayim. Rashi explains over here. What does that mean, Dvash can be used for the Shirayim? Meaning, we know that by standard Mincha, the Kometz is taken off of the Mincha, burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, and the rest is consumed by the Kohanim. That's the Shirayim. Good. How do the Kohanim eat their Shirayim? Any way they want. Meaning, we've gone over this point numerous times. Rashi over here says, Dvash hutar b'shayir minachos. Rashi writes, Imrotza lalushu latagein, shayir minachos b'dvash mutar. Let's say the Kohanim want to sweeten their Shirayim Mincha. Meaning, what is it right now? I mean, it's not that exciting. I mean, it is a mincha. Eating it is a mitzvah. So that's exciting. But in terms of taste, it's flour, oil, water. Okay. So now the Kohanim have a mitzvah to eat the Shayari Mincha. They want to make it enjoyable.
You want to
fry it? Rashi says, by all means. You want to fry it in honey? But by all means, go for it. Decho manus kuhuna nechals begedula. Rashi says that any of the gifts of the Kohanim should be eaten and should be eaten with dignity and royalty. We're going to see this in Chulin. L'cha nesatim l'mashcha l'gedula. K'derech sh'amlachim ochlem. So you eat like a king eats. And so you don't have to be eating just, right, tasteless bread. You know, forgive me please for the description of Shayar Mincha. But in other words, you can fry it. You can fry it in honey. You can basically convert it into something which is delicious. So Dvash can be used for Shayar and Mincha, even though Dvash never can be brought onto the Mizbeach. Let's go to the flip side, Seor, something which is leavened. So that can never be used by a Mincha, not even by the Shayarim. We already established this point, that the Shayarim Mincha cannot be leavened. The Kometz can't be leavened, the Shayarim cannot be leavened. What about going up onto the Mizbeach? So interestingly, the Braisa says that is precedented. Where you do have an exceptional example where Seor is offered onto the Mizbeach. Now, we can sit on this for just a moment and think. What does that mean? Where is it precedented that the Seor can go onto the Mizbeach? So again, our two Seor Menachos are Shtei Lechem and Lachmei Toda. Do you know that of both of those, no part of that goes onto the Mizbeach? So what does the Braisa mean when the Braisa says that we do have an exceptional case of Seor going onto the Mizbeach?
The ramp, right? Isn't the ramp part of included?
Yeah, but that, I mean, yes, it's included, but that, you can't put the Seor on the ramp. Meaning, where is that? So that's the Gemara's question. So Seor dehuta mechlalo b'mikdash mainihu. So what is that in fact talking about? Lav she alechem dekarven adava. So here we go for our second time this morning. The Gemara is now making a suggestion, which is that the Shtei Alechem can be brought on a voluntary basis. There's an obligation to bring the Shtei Alechem on the Yontif of Shavuos, but maybe there's also a voluntary offering of the Shtei Alechem. Let's go back to what we suggested earlier in the Gemara. Comes from public money. In other words, can't be brought privately, but it can come from public money. So, and maybe if that's in fact the case, the Shtei Alechem brought voluntarily will be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, this is a suggestion. Amar Rav Amram lo likar v'imahem. So, or I should read it better. Amar Rav Amram lo likar v'imahem. So the Gemara says, rejection. No, the Shtei Alechem is not brought voluntarily. Second time we're rejecting the suggestion for today as well. The Shtei Alechem cannot be brought on a voluntary basis. The Shtei Alechem is only brought on the obligatory Yontav of Shavuos. But there's no such thing as a Nidav Shtei Alechem.
Even then it doesn't go on the Mizbeach.
Correct. So what then are we talking about when we're talking about the parts that go up onto the Mizbeach? We're talking about the attachments to the Shtei Alechem. The kifs, the atzeres, which are attached to the Shtei Alechem, which are now part and parcel of the Shtei Alechem, so they go onto the Mizbeach. Now, granted, this is a little bit of a stretch, because it's not the Seor that goes onto the Mizbeach, it's the attachment to the Seor, otherwise known as the Kifse Atzeres, which go onto the Mizbeach. And by the way, even the Kifse Atzeres are not totally going onto the Mizbeach. Only the Imurim of the Kifse Atzeres are going to the Mizbeach, but still, at least there's part of it. Ihachi Bikurim Nami Didnan. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that if we have an attachment of an item going onto the Mizbeach, so that counts. So the Gemara says, by Bikurim, you know, we have an attachment. meaning the Bikurim themselves don't go onto the Mizbech. Right? For a moment, the basket's going to be placed onto the Mizbech, but then quickly taken off and given to the Kohanim. So, but there are attachments to the Bikurim. The Gemara here quotes a Mishnah from Bikurim. There are only three Prakim of Bikurim, and here we are in the third Perek. Didnana goes lo shal gabi asalam hayu olos. So there were birds. In other words, the Bikurim that were brought to the Beis HaMikdash were brought with a lot of pomp and circumstance. You read through the Mishnayot and Bikurim, and you're going to see it was like a parade where it was taken. Not only was it pomp and circumstance, even the Bikurim themselves were placed in fancy baskets, adorned with all these different accessories, including birds. Birds were actually placed on the basket. And Sha'agabi Asalam Hayu Olos. And the Mishnah in Bikurim says that these birds that were on the baskets were brought as offerings. V'hasalam shebiyadam nitanim likohanim. And the baskets themselves would be given to the Kohanim. So, isn't that now? So, let's think this through. Right, the Bikurim, as we already established, that's the Davash mentioned in the Torah. And we're saying that Davash never goes on to the Mizbeach. Well, so, or you say does go on to the Mizbeach under the circumstance that not the Shtei Alechem itself, but the attachment to the Shtei Alechem. So now the Davash, so the attachment to the Davash is going on to the Mizbeach because the birds that are there that are adorning the basket are going to go on to the Mizbeach. Now, you can already intuit the answer, right, Gore, you did. And the Gemara now says, Hanu la'atir bikur muda also. So the Gemara says, let's not compare the two. When it comes to the Shtei Alechem, the Kifsei Atzeres, that's a real attachment. That's a halachic attachment. They're waved together. One is matir for the other. That's a real attachment. Well, when we're talking about the birds and the Bikurim, it's there for just adornment. It's la'ater ha-Bikurim. It's a crown for the Bikurim, but it's not a real attachment. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're halfway down on Nun Ches Amid Aleph Bayram Ibrahama Mirav Chista Amalami Basar Chatas Ha'Of Agabe Mizbeach Mahu. If we were to take some of the basar of the Chatas Ha'Of and put it onto the Mizbeach, would you be liable? Okay, so let's make things very clear from the very beginning. Taking the meat of the Chatas bird, we're talking about the bird, and putting it onto the Mizbeach, that's categorically incorrect. Right? That's an X, not a check. Because we know, we've gone through this back in Zvachim, in the sixth parak of Zvachim, there are only two types of karbanos that are brought, either a chatas or an ola. An ola bird is totally burnt on the mizbeach. A chatas bird, none of it's burnt on the mizbeach. You do malika on the chatas ha'of, right? There's no havdalah. Right? Go back to Zvachim to remind ourselves what that means, and the blood is going to be sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. Remember, for the birds, it's an inversion of what we have by animals. By animals, Chatas is on the top portion of the Mizbeach. Everything else, the Shlamim, Ola, are on the bottom portion of the Mizbeach. By birds, it gets flipped. So in other words, Ola is done on the top, Chatas is done on the bottom. But anyway, of the meat, then the meat of the bird, what then happens? All of it is eaten by the Kohanim. There are no Imurim as it relates to birds. So, when it comes to the chatas bird, there's no mimenu, meaning because there's no part of the bird that goes up onto the mizbeach. So, putting it on the mizbeach is wrong. That's clear. But is it a lav in the Torah if one were to take the bird and put it up onto the mizbeach? Because there's no construct of mimenu as it relates to the bird. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. So there's no construct of mimenu as it relates to the chatas bird. Or maybe you know. Maybe that's not the benchmark. Maybe the benchmark is as long as it's referred to as a carbon. The chatas bird is in fact referred to as a carbon. See Rashi for where he cites the psukim, it's referred to as a carbon. So amalei kosher shmo carbon, v'hainami shmo carbon. And the answer, very clear answer, it's called a carbon. Since it's referred to as a carbon, so therefore there would be an iser of placing the chatas bird onto the mizbech. It qualifies as a lav. Kitanai, the Gemara points out, even though Rav gave a very decisive answer to this question, the Gemara now is going to point out this could really be subject to a machlokas of tonight. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Kosher Mimen Elishim, Rabbi Akiva, Omer Kosher Shmo Karban. So the Tanaim debate this very issue. Meaning, when does one violate the law in the Torah of placing something onto the Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it has to have a construct of Mimenu, where part of it goes onto the Mizbeach and part of it does not. And the part now that does not, there's a law to put onto Mizbeach. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it just simply has to be labeled as a carbon. If it's labeled as a carbon and it shouldn't go onto the Mizbeach, there's a law to put onto the Mizbeach. Mai Beinayu. And so now what's the nafkamina between these two positions? So the first nafkamina is exactly our discussion. So the first nafkamina would be the chatas ha'of, where there's no mimenu, there's no part that goes onto the Mizbeach, part that does not go onto the Mizbeach, but it is in fact called the carbon, like we just got done saying. But now it comes out now that it's actually a machlokas hatanayim. Rava amar log shem shel metzorah kamenahu, another nafkamina, and that would be the log of oil for the mitzorah. The log of oil for the mitzorah. So is there any part of it that goes on to the mizbeach? No. Is it a carbon? Yes. Did ni levi kol karbanam l'rabos log shem shel metzorah? In fact, the kol karbanam is in fact a reference to the log shem shel metzorah, where that is given over to the kohanim. After all the sprinkling and applications are done, the rest of it is given over to the kohanim, as I've quipped numerous times, salad dressing. That's the that's what the kohanim are going to do with the leftover of the log shemen. You see, it's called a carbon. Okay, Tana Rabban. Yes. Why wouldn't be?
It's not a mimenu. That's no part of it because of the mitzvah.
Yeah. Okay. Just to repeat the question. In other words, so now in this question of chatas ha'of, so bikurim also. Now the only thing I would say is that I actually, like we said earlier, meaning maybe that's why the Torah had to go out of its way to identify bikurim by itself, exactly for that reason, because it doesn't have a construct of mimenu. But then that would seem to indicate then that would be the only other. In other words, if the Torah says mimenu, so that there's an issue in the Torah of not putting the non-carbon portion on the mizbeach. Then if the Torah says shtei alechem and sor, meaning these two and only these two. Okay, fine. Tanu Rabbanan, sor baktatira ein li ela kula, miksasa minayin. The sor is not to be burnt on the mizbeach. That only tells me if I take all the sor and put it onto the mizbeach. Miksasa minayin tamalam kol. A ruva minayin tamalam ki kol. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah says not only the word kol, but ki kol, so it means that I can't even put part of it onto the mizbech. I can't even put a tarovis, even if it's in a mixture. My kamar, amar abai hachi kamar. Seor bal taktir ein liela kezayis. So the way Abai understands the drasha goes like this. That the bal taktir tells me that I can't put a kezayis. Chatzi zayis minayin tamalam or kol. So even a half a kezayis is going to be an iser. Now, this is reminiscent of the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma in the beginning of the 8th Perek talk about the idea of chatzi shir asur min haTorah. That not only is there an Issur Torah for a full shir, but even for part of a shir as well. Now, it's interesting because our Gemara over here also is entertaining the discussion of chatzi shir, but doesn't make any reference whatsoever to the Gemara in Yuma. It seems like these two discussions, which are similar, exist independent of one another. But again, we're not talking about eating over here. We're talking about burning on the Mizbeach. So it could be different. So, according to Abaye, there is an Isser in the Torah of not only taking the Seor and burning on the Mizbeach, but even, not only a Kezayis, but even a half a Kezayis, and even a Tarovis, even if it's contained in a mixture. Rav Amahachi Kamarsar, Baltaktir Ein Liela Komets, Chatzi Komets Minayin Tamalamar Kol. A ruva minayin tamalamar ki kol. Now Rava's description of the brisa is really similar, but with just a subtle difference of, instead of using the measurements of kezayis and chatzi kezayis, he uses the measurements of komets and chatzi komets. And so you have to ask the question, it sounds really similar to each other, what's the difference? The Maika Miflagi. Abayi savar yesh komets pachus mishnei zeisim, v'yesh haktara pechusa mi kezayis. So, this is something we discussed earlier in the Masechta. This is now, I believe, the second time we're having this discussion. And that is, your fist, my fist, or let's say better, the Kohen's fist, when it goes into the Mincha and now takes out a Kemitza, how much is in his fist, volume-wise? So it's going to be about two kazesim, which I've quipped already before. That's really right. It's not a lot, and it really forces us to think, what's a kazayas? Okay, and it's not, this is not a new discussion. That's a really old discussion. But anyway, so it's about two kazesim. According to Abaye, a kometz has less than two kazesim. If a kometz has less than two kazesim, and then I were to burn it onto the mizbech in two portions, yesh haktara pechusa mekazayas. So that means that it could be burned even less than a kazayas. Rava amar ein kometz pachus mishnei zesim. Now Rava says that no, that a kometz by definition has no less than two kazesim. Meaning, now I said this before, it's hard to understand. It's a machlokas in metzias, it's a machlokas in how much a kazayas is. That part admittedly is confusing to me, but the basic idea is that according to Rava, a kometz has no less than two kazesim, ein haktar p'chusa mikazayas. And the burning, there is no significant shear of burning anything less than a kazayas. And so therefore, when Rava goes back and understands the Braisa, so that's why he talks in measurements of a kometz. Because for him, a kometz by definition is no less than two kazesim, and therefore there can't be anything less than a haktara of a kazayas. Where according to Abaye, you're already starting off with less than a kazayas. So that's why the Braisa can be entertaining even less than a kazayas. Let's just finish up the daf for today. Itmar, hamala, misor, midvash, al gabe mizbech. If, let's say, you were to take either seor or dvash and burn it on the mizbech, ama rava loka mishum seor veloka mishum dvash, loka mishum eruvi seor, mishum eruvi dvash. So if I mix the two together and burn it onto mizbech, so according to Rava, plenty of malchus to go around. You're going to get malchus for seor, you're going to get malchus for dvash, you're going to get a malchus for a mixture of seor, and you're going to get malchus for a mixture of dvash. Abaye amar ein lokin alav shebechlalos. Now, according to Abaye, no. Meaning, it's a law in the Torah. It is absolutely wrong to do so. It is you're violating the Torah, but vis-a-vis punishment, so this falls under the rules of lav shebechlalos. Meaning, the Torah over here is speaking about generalities, and one does not receive malchus for a general iser in the Torah. Now, within Abaye's position, does that mean that there's no malchus, or does that mean that there's one set of malchus for this generality? So in one version, Abaye has one set of malchus, and another version, he has zero set of malchus, because the only time, this is a technical discussion, that the only time that one would be subject to malchus is when there is one lav dedicated to one action. Like, for example, losach som shor bedisho. The Torah says in Parshat Kisetse that you cannot muzzle an animal as it's threshing for you. Right? In other words, it could be a sensitivity training issue. In other words, we just have to, whatever the reason is. The Torah says, Losach som shor bedisho. And then, right next to that, the Torah teaches us about malchus. So that means to say that you only get malchus when you violate an iser in the Torah that is dedicated to one lav. However, if you have in one pasuk multiple lavim, like our pasuk right over here, pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Beis of Vayikra, where kol seor v'chol devash, so you have a number of ideas mentioned in one pasuk. So, as a technical point, there is no set of malchus, meaning it's a lav, it's a violation of the Torah, but there's no set of malchus.
That's the punishment.
That's right.
No punishment.
Right. Correct. Meaning it's a lav in the Torah with no punishment. There are plenty of those in the Torah. Yeah, what's Rava's counter argument to that? Meaning he doesn't subscribe to the concept altogether. It's hard to imagine. Yes, correct. No. The halacha falls like Rava. So I don't know. Maybe he feels that this is not a lav shebechlalos. Unclear about that. Okay, sorry.